Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us that leads us to you. Let these words I say be your words, so your truth can be communicated to those listening. Lesson 30 is titled, The Death of Jacob. As God's plan of redemption continues to unfold, the way of passing on Abraham's covenant changes. Formerly, God had given the promises of the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by appearing to them directly. Instead of God appearing, the promise of the seed, which is the Messiah's lineage, will be passed on in Jacob's blessing to Judah. The other two promises of descendants and land don't need to be passed on. The many descendants promise of the covenant has its partial fulfillment as Jacob's family continues to grow. The land promise of the covenant has its partial fulfillment when the land of Canaan is apportioned to the 12 tribes of Israel. This promise will have its complete fulfillment when the Messiah returns and rules in the promised land during his millennial kingdom. In the previous chapters, Jacob's death is imminent, and it is time for him to bless his sons. Joseph and his two sons come when they hear Jacob is ill. Jacob makes Joseph promise to bury him with his fathers, which is in the cave of Machpelah, also called the Cave of the Patriarchs. Jacob considers Joseph the firstborn, as he gives him a double portion by blessing each of his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Having blessed his favorite son privately, Jacob calls all his sons together. This lesson is divided into two divisions. Division 1, Jacob blesses his sons and dies, and Joseph comforts his brothers and dies, in Genesis chapters 49 and 50. Division 2, Jesus, the seed prophesied in Abraham's covenant, may be coming soon. Division 1, Jacob blesses his sons and dies, and Joseph comforts his brothers and dies. As he is near death, Jacob calls his sons to give them his blessings of what will happen to them in days to come. Jacob's blessings focused on the near and distant future, as the phrase, in days to come, can also mean in the last days. Jacob blesses and in a few cases rebukes according to each son's own character and ability. In all the blessings he gives his sons, two blessings stand out as they are longer than the rest. Although he had just blessed Joseph through his two sons, Joseph's own blessing from Jacob says he is to be prosperous and victorious over his enemies. Although he was innocent, he suffered at the hands of others. But God was with him. In his blessing to Joseph, Jacob uses several names of God that describe God's attributes used to help Joseph. Jacob's God is a multidimensional God. The other blessing that stands out because of its length is the blessing for Judah. He had a change of character. He started out as quite a character, but now he is a man of character. His leadership abilities and love for his family grow as he experiences events in his life. He persuaded his brothers in Genesis 37:27 not to kill Joseph, but to sell him into slavery. He admitted guilt in his affair with Tamar in Genesis 38:26 when he said, "She is more righteous than me, since I did not give her to my son Shelah." He convinced his father in Genesis 43:3-10 of the urgency to return to Egypt with Benjamin in order to buy food. In Genesis 44:16, he speaks for his brothers when caught with Joseph's divination cup. He has concern for the youngest brother Benjamin in Genesis 44:8-34 when he convinced Joseph through an emotional appeal not to keep their younger brother as a slave and let him go, and that he himself would replace Benjamin and become Joseph's slave. His father trusted him in Genesis 46:28 when the family left Canaan to lead the way into Goshen. Because of his caring and leadership abilities, Jacob bestows on Judah the promise of the messianic line. Jacob tells Judah his brothers will bow down before him. The brothers bow down to Joseph now, But in the future, the tribes of Israel will bow down to the kingly descendants of Judah. Jacob pictures the tribe of Judah as a lion. In Revelation 5:5, Jesus is the Messiah, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who has conquered. Jacob tells of a scepter and ruler's staff that will stay in the tribe of Judah until tribute and obedience come, meaning kings like David and Solomon will come from that tribe until the final king, the Messiah, comes and rules, and people will be obedient to him. The last part of the blessing describes the fruitfulness of the Messianic kingdom. Fruit will be so plentiful that the Messiah will tie his foal and donkey's colt to the best vines and let them eat from it. A foal and not a horse indicates the Messiah will be a king of peace, not of war. There will be such an abundance of wine that you can wash your clothes in it. People will be healthy with white eyes, not jaundice, and white teeth, not yellow. Jacob talks about each son and his blessing, while he talks to his favored sons when he gives their blessings. Jacob also talks to Reuben only because he was his firstborn son. Reuben had lost his firstborn status because of his overt act. After all the years of being silent, Jacob finally rebukes him for his sleeping with his concubine, Bilhah. Jacob didn't talk directly to Benjamin. While Joseph was in Egypt, Benjamin was a substitute for him to Jacob. Benjamin had probably been relegated to the status of younger brother of Joseph after the family had come to Egypt. Not only was Joseph alive, but he became their savior who could supply them with food, a good place to live, and security. Nothing is noted about Benjamin that would continue Jacob's favoring him, although he was still the only other child of his beloved wife, Rachel. After blessing his sons, he commands them to bury him in the cave of Machpelah. He is so insistent that he recounts nearly the whole history of the cave. He says he wants to be buried with his fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field at Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burial site. He then mentions that they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there he buried Leah. Notice he didn't call Leah his wife, as his favorite wife was Rachel. He drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. The cave of Machpelah, bought by Abraham when Sarah died, is in Hebron. Herod the Great built four huge walls around the cave, making it a shrine shortly before Jesus was born. It is the second most holy place to the Jews after the Temple Mount. The shrine has been a site of contention between Jews and Muslims for centuries. In 2017, an arm of the anti-Israel United Nations, UNESCO, determined that the Cave of Machpelah is a Palestinian heritage site. This means it belongs to Islam and not to the Jews. Abraham bought the cave about 1900 BC, and Islam was created about 2500 years later. How do they figure? After Jacob dies, Joseph had his body embalmed by physicians. Why physicians and not the priests who would normally do the procedure? Joseph wanted to be true to his God and had the physicians perform the embalming, thereby foregoing all the Egyptian religious rituals associated with mummification. Why embalming, which was not a practice of his religion? It was done for practical purposes, as Jacob's body would not be interred for a long time. The Egyptian custom of mourning lasted 70 days, which would then be followed by a long trip to Hebron. After receiving Pharaoh's permission, Joseph and a fairly large entourage travel to Hebron, where Jacob is entombed in the cave of Machpelah. Joseph returns to Egypt with all who had gone up with him to bury his father. After Jacob's death, the brothers worry about Joseph's attitude toward them. They are probably thinking, now that Dad is gone, Will Joseph take vengeance on us for his kidnapping? They send a message to Joseph saying that Jacob told them to ask for forgiveness for their transgressions. The brothers then go to Joseph and he weeps. They again bow down before him and say they are his servants. Joseph recognizes that events in his life are controlled by God. He says to his brothers that even though they meant to harm him, God meant it for good, so that many people should live as they have in the land of Goshen. He comforts them by saying that he will provide for them and their children. Joseph is a type of Jesus. Jesus suffered by his Jewish brothers that he should die for that which he was not guilty. But this too God meant for good, so that many people should have eternal life. God comforts us by saying that in the future he will wipe away every tear from our eyes and that there will be no more death. Joseph dies at 110, some 50 years after Jacob. Again, for practical reasons, he was embalmed and placed in a coffin. His body would lie in a tomb in Egypt that archaeologists may have discovered recently. Jacob and Joseph are the only two Israelites to be embalmed. Before he died, he commanded the sons of Israel to carry up his bones out of Egypt. He was carried out of Egypt during the Exodus by Moses in Exodus 13:19, and eventually buried in Shechem in Joshua 24:32, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor for 100 pieces of money. Jacob's death and embalming ends the book of Genesis. Just because our Bible study is over doesn't mean we should stop reading the Bible. On behalf of Galen, Chuck, and Jeff, we encourage you to read the Bible daily over the summer. Put down that romance novel and pick up the Bible. It has everything that the novel has in it: drama, comedy, suspense, murder, love, courage. The Bible is God's Word. It doesn't sleep, take a nap, take a vacation, or take the summer off. It is God talking to us. Listen to what He has to say to you every day. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You for Your holiness and righteousness, love and wisdom. We thank You for Your Word and Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for the great study of Genesis, and through it, how much we have learned about You. May anyone listening who does not possess Your Spirit soon realize what a great gift You are offering for the forgiveness of sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus.